Chapter 2. The Visitor. The next day, a clerk entered Mr. Lismore's private room at his office. He presented Mr. Lismore with a calling card. Having reflected and decided, Mrs. Callender had arrived at Mr. Lismore's office for a visit. Below her name on the card, she had written these words of explanation. An important matter. "Does she look as if she wants money?" Mr. Lismore inquired. "Oh dear, no. She came in her own carriage." "Is she young or old?"
"Old, sir."
To Mr. Lismore, aware of the effect a beautiful young woman can have on a busy man, this was a good thing. As a result, he said, "Show her in." As she approached him, he observed the lady with the brief curiosity of a stranger. He noticed that she still remained beautiful. She had also escaped the trouble, common to women at her age, of becoming too fat. Even to a man's eye, her dressmaker appeared to have made the most of that positive circumstance. Her shape had its faults hidden. Its remaining qualities were set off to their advantage. At the same time, she wasn't afraid of her age. She wore her own gray hair, and her complexion had few signs of makeup. She made her apologies with some embarrassment on entering the room. Being the embarrassment of a stranger, it failed to impress Mr. Lismore positively. "I am afraid I have chosen an awkward time for my visit," she began. "I am at your service," he answered, a little severely, "especially if you will be so kind as to state your business with me in few words." She was a woman of some spirit, and his reply had roused her. "I will mention it in one word," she said quickly. "My business is gratitude." He was completely at a loss to understand what she meant. He said so plainly. Yet, instead of explaining herself, she offered him a question. "Do you remember the night of the 11th of March? It was about 5 or 6 years ago." He considered for a moment, then replied, "No, I don't remember it. Excuse me, Mrs. Callender, I have business of my own to attend to, which causes me some anxiety." "Let me help your memory, Mr. Lismore. Then I will leave you to your affairs. On the date I refer to, you were on your way to the railway station at Bexmore. You were to catch the night express from the north to London." His time was valuable, so the shipowner had remained standing. However, he now took his usual seat. He began to listen with some interest. Mrs. Callender had produced an effect on him already. "It was absolutely necessary that you should be on your ship in the London docks by 9 o'clock the next morning," she proceeded. "If you had missed the express train, the ship would have sailed without you." The look on his face began to change to surprise. "Who told you that?" he asked. "You shall hear directly. On your way into the town, your carriage was stopped by a block on the main road. The people of Bexmore were looking at a house on fire," she continued. He started to his feet. "Good heavens! Are you the lady?" She held up her hand in ironic protest. "Gently, sir. You suspected me just now of wasting your valuable time. Don't rashly assume that I am the lady. That is, not until you find that I know the circumstances." "Is there no excuse for me failing to recognize you?" Mr. Lismore asked. "We were on the dark side of the burning house. You were fainting, and I..."
"And you," she added, "saved me at the risk of your own life. You turned a deaf ear to my poor husband's request. He had asked you to wait until I had recovered my senses." "Your poor husband. Surely, Mrs. Callender, he received no serious injury from the fire?"
"The firemen rescued him at great risk to themselves," she answered. "However, at his great age, he sank under the shock. I have lost the most tender and best of men. Do you remember how you left, burned and injured from saving me? He liked to talk of it in his last illness. At least, he said to you, 'Tell me the name of the man who saved my wife from a frightening death.'
You threw your card to him out of the carriage window.
You went away at a fast run to catch your train.
In all the years that have passed, I have kept that card. I have unsuccessfully inquired about my brave sea captain. Yesterday, I saw your name on the list of speakers at the Mansion House. Need I say that I attended the meeting? Need I tell you now why I come here and interrupt you during business hours?